Music has a special way of touching our hearts in ways many things cannot. And if you're tuning into this podcast, you probably think so too. On each episode of Classical Post, we uncover a creative mind behind music we find particularly exceptional. Coming to you from New York, Classical Post is created and produced by Gold Sound Media, a marketing and PR agency for the performing arts industry. I'm your host, Jonathan Eifert, creative director at Gold Sound Media, and I hope you find something inspiring in this episode. Poetry has long served as a point of inspiration for classical composers. Just think of Beethoven's magnificent setting of Schiller's Ode to Joy, Schubert's cinematic take on Goethe's Gretchen at the Spinning Wheel, or Ned Worm's soulful songs based on the words of Frank O'Hara. And now there's a new work to add to this story tradition from composer Brian Raphael Nabors. In Upon Daybreak, premiered by the Berklee Symphony in late 2022, Nabors turns to a poignant poem by the late Maya Angelou, A Brave, Startling Truth. Rather than set the poem's text to music, however, Nabors distills Angelou's visionary call for a great day of peacemaking into a powerful orchestral work that imagines a utopian world without hatred or malice. Commissioned by New Music USA as part of its Amplifying Voices program, Upon Daybreak has been performed by the Detroit Symphony, River Oaks Chamber Orchestra, and the Boston Landmarks Orchestra since its Berklee premiere, and the work will make its way to the Seattle Symphony in 2024. In this episode, Nabors and I talk more about composing Upon Daybreak and what it was like working with the Berklee Symphony's music director, Joseph Young, on a host of community engagement projects leading up to the premiere. Plus, he shares the important part his spiritual life plays in maintaining the energy to compose, how video games help him overcome creative blocks, and why skincare is always a top priority in his wellness routine.
My name is Brian Raphael Nabors. I'm a composer and pianist, originally from Birmingham, Alabama. I think about my art as snapshots of humanity at different portions of our lives and as we go through our different trials and tribulations and ups and downs. And I think about just all the wonderful musical stylings and experiences that have shaped that and try to incorporate all of those things into my highest form of expression that I could possibly give in my music.
Let's talk about aesthetics outside of music. Where do you find inspiration to create music?
Everywhere, especially in nature. I'm a huge fan of going outside. I grew up in Alabama, Birmingham specifically, like I mentioned before. It's an interesting place where I grew up. I grew up on the edge of a city limit, so you could go 5 minutes one way and go and see creeks and pastures and cranes diving into water, all these natural processes going on. And then you can drive the other way and go into like this urban sprawl of, you know, interesting, wholly a different form of life. And so it's really been an interesting thing sort of taking it all in and trying to make sense of it sonically as I go forth as a human being, but also other things, architecture, the way that things are designed, things that are perfect in their imperfection. Just the world, the universe. Of course, I can think about that for hours. It's just, you know, so much.
You mentioned architecture, but I am curious if there's other kind of creative industries that you derive inspiration, like painting, sculpture, or design, interior design, product design, fashion, film, like those kind of creative industries, and anything from those.
Definitely. I love visual arts of any kind, specifically. Just thinking about all the things I consumed growing up. My father is a visual artist, so I was a painter and also a drawer, if you will, for a long time. And I did this side by side with music until composition just sort of took over my life. And so everything from the colors and other artists that sort of depict and enable the art to be expressed through their human experience as well in their own way is really interesting to me. Yeah, anything that deals with the arts.
Describe a routine you have in place that helps you live a healthier life.
taking time to rest and decompress and get away from all the sort of normal duties. A lot of times I'll cook. That's another thing I'm very, very interested in. My parents, I grew up very spoiled with all of their food. So I have high standards for good food for sure. Other ways I love to just get away from it all is I like to fish, love to walk, spend time in nature, of course. Video games for sure. I tell my students this all the time. I'm like, if you're having a mental block, you know, compositionally, sometimes the best thing to do is to literally just leave it alone, put everything down, go play video games, go take a walk, go watch Netflix, binge a show, you know, for a couple of days and come back. And sometimes that recontextualizes your brain to see things in an entirely different light. You may find solutions then that you hadn't found before. So I always find that just getting away from it and coming back to it. And I try to reward myself daily with just little spurts of that, even if I can't like take a whole week off.
In terms of energy specifically, what keeps you going to keep creating?
Definitely. I would say my faith, deep prayer and spiritual life, deep meditation, days that get extremely stressful, just thinking about the weight of it all. Just trying to find those moments of quiet to recenter myself is something that really puts things back into perspective and allows me to sort of self-motivate again and brings back a perspective of why I do this in the first place. And so I do this daily to try to keep it going. So there's always an overflow of motivation there that I can sort of pull from, or a constant stream rather.
What is one specific product you highly recommend?
Interesting. This is really hard because I use a lot of stuff, but I guess it's not a product, but I'm a big fan of superfoods. I love fruit and I love other things that can contribute to overall health and wealth of health. So I think of things like chia seeds. Sprinkle them on anything. They're packed with omega-3s and whole bunch of health benefits that control your blood sugar, blood pressure, all of that stuff. If I had to think of anything specifically, even name brand wise, I do a lot of skincare because I have eczema, unfortunately, that erupts with the slightest bit of stress or a temperature change. So, of course, all those brands like Aquaphor and Cetaphil and all that stuff, even if you don't have eczema. Just the idea of skincare, it's the largest organ on your body. Having something that can restore those ceramides in the skin is highly important just to be able to function. Because if you're itching and burning or uncomfortable in any way because of just your major organ on the outside, you know, acting up, then it's hard to just sit in your humanness and do what you do from a day-to-day standpoint.
What restaurant or bar do you love to eat at when you're in New York City?
I'm so sorry because I've only been there one time. So
oh
I
my
have
God.
No idea. I went there one time because I had to audition for my master's at Mannes School of Music. And I went there and auditioned and I found a little bodega with some pizza and I bought a drink and it was like $14 and ridiculously high, and then I went to bed. So that's all I remember. I remember my money was going pretty fast. But other than that, I'm sure there are thousands of wonderful things. I don't have a particular one. I will in the future, probably very soon.
That's okay. How about a favorite city? Do you have a favorite city? And then within that city, a favorite restaurant that you can recommend?
Interesting. I do have a favorite city, but I can't think of a favorite restaurant within it. Oh. It's kind of dispersed between two places. Is that okay?
That's fine. Go for it.
I hope that's okay. I love Seattle so much. Every time I go there, I'm like, okay, I'm quitting everything. I'm moving here because of just the nature aspect, to have such an urban sprawl and such a beautiful, environment is absolutely incredible. You got Mount Rainier in the background, all these local islands among the Puget Sound that you could just jump on a ferry and go to. It's just magical. And then the scene there, the people there are really unique and interesting. And the food is delicious. I can't think of any specific restaurants, but I was thinking of a place I used to go to in Atlanta. I don't know if they have one there now, but Gladys Knight Chicken and Waffles for sure. I know it's probably one in probably just LA now or somewhere else, but I love Atlanta and the cuisine there for sure. There was a nice breakfast place in Houston too that I can't remember the name of, but I can't remember anything.
That's okay. No, I was curious. I think it's an interesting topic, I think, because I ask this question with all the other podcast guests, and it's just interesting to hear the different answers and the different recommendations. Let's pause for a second. Are you an artist or work at an arts organization? I founded Gold Sound Media to help you expand your audience through social media. My team and I work closely with clients around the United States, directly shaping their messaging through customized strategic content. One of our biggest success stories is our work for the Clyburn, where we drove 25 million viewers, making it one of the most watched classical music events of all time. Get in touch to speak with me directly about how Gold Sound Media can help you. Just head to goldsoundmedia.com. Now, back to the show. Tell us about the Amplifying Voices Project. I see that your work Upon Daybreak is inspired by Dr. Maya Angelou's poem, A Brave Startling Truth, and was premiered by the Berklee Symphony this fall. So, yes, why don't you tell us about this work?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose I can start with a little bit about the program. New Music USA formed this incredible initiative called Amplifying Voices that was started probably late 2019, like right before the pandemic, where they basically are encouraging underrepresented composers to come on board and have consortiums of at least four orchestras or more, you know, if they're able to acquire more, to have a new work be played repeatedly so that there's this influx of new work in the canon. And it's just kind of rejuvenated. And so they hope to continue this thing and add more composers over the years. And so I just premiered a piece with Atlanta Symphony, and I was reached out to by Joseph Young, who had been assistant conductor there since he was one of the first people, since he's a music director of Berklee, to get on board. And he was like, oh, well, do y'all have anybody? It's like, oh, yeah, we just premiered this piece by Brian Neighbors. You know, he'd be a wonderful person for that. So I'm grateful that, you know, they thought of me for this. So I went ahead and I started communing with Berklee. What's so beautiful about this program is that they really encourage community engagement in a way that the composers are saturated in the community for about 2 to 3 years, even before the premiere happened. So we had been talking probably since fall of 2019. And when this piece just premiered in October of 2022 on the 16th, it was wild because everyone knew me at that point because we had done so many events in the community, everything from food bank concerts to things in the streets. It was just awesome. And I really got to know Berklee well and make multiple trips. So it's been wonderful. And I'll still keep traveling because of the other consortium people. Detroit Symphony's on board, Seattle's on board, which I'm excited about. Rocco Chamber Orchestra is on board, so I have to create a different version of that piece for this. Boston Landmarks Orchestra is on board. I feel like I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah. I don't know if I mentioned. I think that's everybody. If I miss somebody, it'll be played eventually, but it's been just a wonderful joy just to get to know everybody over just the course of the 2 or 3 years. And so all of the composers involved have really been able to not only get into the community, but also have concerts with artistic administrators to reshape sort of programming that is currently out there and for the future for works that have never been played throughout their history, dating back all the way into, you know, early 20th century, into just finding people who are our friends to come along and be commissioned and performed in ways that they never had the opportunity to be before. So we get to be a voice for the voiceless in many ways, which I found very gratifying. So my work Upon Daybreak was inspired, like you said, from Dr. Maya Angelou, her poem, A Brave Startling Truth, which was so beautifully given at the United Nations, has been just a really inspiring poem for me. I love her work in general. I'm just inspired by her whole story. I got to see her back in 2013 when she was narrating Lincoln Portrait with the Cincinnati Symphony. I'll never forget. I still have those little pictures of just so standing underneath or sitting underneath her as she spoke at the pre-concert talk, which was really awesome. So I really just dove in even deeper. And I found that I just wanted to give inspiration back into the concert hall. So this was a season opener as well for Berklee. So I'm like, we just came out of a pandemic. We're kind of still in it, but we're kind of creeping our way out. I wanted something extremely exciting. So in the poem, she talks about, you know, sort of all the chaos and war and dystopian sort of things that come about from us being just humans and destructive, but also all the beauty that comes out of humanity and what we're able to offer. And it talks about just this day of peacemaking where all this warmongering ends finally. And we realize that the true wonders of the world, you know, are ourselves and life itself and how everything is so precious. So I'm like, if freedom, true freedom to be and to live without war, malice had a sound, what would it sound like? And of course, I had a huge task upon me. So I tried to put it in my way of just thinking about an ABA sort of theme where I could put in a freedom theme, if you will, that would come back and cycle through so that if anybody heard this piece from anywhere, they know, you know, I feel like melody is so, so very important in music. For a lot of different reasons. I like to say I'm trying to bring melody back. Now, good atmosphere is wonderful, but something that can stick with the listener. I often tell people who have a bit of disdain for new music, it's really more about the way something is crafted and how many nuggets you can have normalized for the listener to identify with and have become a part of them and make it meaningful for them, rather than the sound of something itself. So I really tried to reach deeply in that. But of course, my favorite thing to do is to write a good tune as well as set the atmosphere behind it in different contexts, almost like a screenwriter goes through and, you know, you have a character that you love and then they're thrown in some different contexts. All the elements about them are still there, their personality, but you get to see how they handle different situations. Same thing. Like when you have a moment of sort of emotional gravitas in a very triumphant way versus a very sort of placid and contemplative way, you get to see both sides of all of that, you know, the grieving process after or during like wartime versus, you know, the triumphant sort of we made it out kind of reflection.
What does success mean to you?
The ability to be able to do what I do for as long as I can do it. And even if it's just one person that plays or hears the music, it's never defined for me by notoriety or awards specifically, but just that people are still interested and interested in being inspired and optimistic. And if I can be a part of that, I feel successful as a composer for sure. It means so much to me that anybody from anywhere, no matter what orchestra or what person it is, a friend or what have you, you know, still wants to be a part of the service of delivering it to others. So I love the service aspect of it. You serve the players and inspire them, and then it transfers to the people. I love that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Classical Post. If you loved it, give us a 5-star review as it helps us reach more people. Also, remember to hit that follow button in your podcast app to get notified of new episodes.